just in the flow and just feeling his love and his joy and his peace. How wondrous it is. A couple of times I was praying there and I'm kind of released to walk away, and I thought I was like, whoa, I got to hold on to something here. Wow. Don't you love when he has this, his manifest presence is here and we get to enjoy that? Oh my gosh. So amazing. So glorious, right? Glorious. Wow. That the King of everything, creator of everything, would take the time and spend that time with us and allow us to feel his warm embrace and his presence. Wow. Amazing. So we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. And I taught a lesson a few weeks back talking about the heart matters. Part one was talking about the importance of the heart, but also that we are a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. And most of us have had that teaching multiple times. So praise God, that's established in your heart. It's amazing. It's very imperative that you hear and understand that. But also now what I'm adding to that is the heart, okay? The heart is not the spirit, and it is not the soul, but it is touched by both. Andrew Walmack says the heart is the intersection of the spirit and the soul. Now, can I just, let you guys look in the spirit and see inside of me and see how I can't do that. But just from life, from experience, and from Andrew's many years of teaching, that's what he believes. But it is something that's different. It's separate. It acts differently than your spirit. It acts differently than your soul. And for sure, it acts differently than your flesh. All right? But from your heart comes the issues of life. Right? It could have issue out good things, and it could issue out bad things. So how do you control that? Well, you have to control what's going in your heart. Okay? This is not in your notes. This is a quick review, because I basically taught last time, and then this is based on what was taught. This is what I'm going to teach tonight, okay? So just a little bit of review. Why is it so important that we focus on our hearts? It's where we believe from. If you don't believe it fully in your heart, if you don't know that you know that you know that it's the truth of God that you're working with and operating from, then guess what? Your faith is going to be short-circuited. You can't have belief and unbelief working in your heart, because they're going to work against each other, okay? You have to route out all the unbelief and continually fill your heart with the Word of God, with good things, the Word, you know, over and over, the Word of God. Coming to church is hugely important, you know? And my gosh, we have so many opportunities to listen to Andrew Walmack and Pastor Prince and all the other ones and everything. Any opportunity that you have getting the Word to come in, your ear gate and your eye gate, because what's happening is you're trying to reprogram your mind, but you're also trying to get those truths into your heart, okay? You get those things established, then truly in faith, you can believe and receive. So the heart of God is what God is mostly concerned about, okay? When you say, I love you, Lord, he's looking at your heart and see if you mean it. You know, Jesus says, you know, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, right? You can actually see and act one way, but in your heart, you're saying something completely different and acting in your heart completely different. And that's what God cares about, you know? When David was chosen as king, you know, the prophet comes in and he goes, sees the older brother, and he sees he's tall and strong and he looks kingly. God says, no, I've rejected him, you know, because look, you might look at the outside appearance, but I look at the heart. That's what he's concerned about. God has given us our hearts kind of like gardens, and we have to attend the garden. You know what happens when you don't attend a garden? Only thing that comes up is weeds. And things that want to grow in there that just take up room and bunker itself down, you know, if you don't attend your garden. So you have to purposely go in there and go, I don't want that. nope, I don't want that. You pull it out, and then make sure you plant what you want to grow. It's something you have to attend, okay? And the other thing is we have to guard our hearts, because the devil wants to, he knows where the power of God comes from, all right? So this, he has designed this whole world to try to get lies, his deceit, even half-truths that are described, you know, disguised as truth, into your heart, so that when you try to operate in faith, you know, it doesn't work. So that's what he's trying to do, right? He knows how important the Word of God is, because as soon as you hear the Word, he is ready, and he, if you allow him to, he will steal it away from you, because he knows the power is in his Word, in God's Word. And what you want, though, you just want that truth to be established into your heart. The heart is important. So the two things is that we have to know that we have a heart, that we need to be attentive to that heart, and we need to guard our heart. So you've been given also the tools to know when you're reading the Bible that the heart is different than the spirit and the soul. So it acts differently. If you think the spirit and the heart are the same, you're going to go, well, that doesn't, when you're reading about the heart, it doesn't make sense, because the way the Bible describes what's happened in our spirit is that we're completely sealed, right? Everything that Jesus has done, we've been born again, made into the image of Christ. We've been given all knowledge, wisdom, power. It's all right there. And then he seals us with his spirit. But our heart can be changed. You know, James says, purify your hearts, you sinners. You double-minded. Your heart can be double-minded, right? It can think two things at once. And James also says, if you're double-minded, don't think that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. Whoa, this is powerful. This is something, you know, I was talking to Brother Ronnie one time, and he says, there's a book that sounds like what you're saying. It's called the Missing Piece, or the Missing Piece to the Puzzle, you know, ingredient. This is something that we need to see, to know and understand, and know. Like we guard our minds from things, we also have to guard our hearts. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, okay? We're going to go in a little bit more about the heart. I actually think this is, I already have part three. I actually am working on two other parts, so hopefully I'll have opportunity to share. There's so much to share about the heart. It's amazing, you know, to understand that. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you made us fearfully and wonderfully, Lord. As we just looked into your word and we are able to see, Lord, what you've created, we just stand in wonder of your, this is your amazing creation in us. We thank you for loving us. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. And I pray that you give us ears to hear, Lord, and just an understanding heart to receive. Without you, we can't understand. I can't even teach and deliver. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you work through me and that you would help in every way. I pray, oh Lord, that in everything that I say, everything we do, everything we hear would be honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, that first teaching is on CD. If you'd like to have it, you can request it. And I'm not sure if it's been put on Podbean, but we'll make sure it's there too. So if you want to go back and listen to that teaching, that'd be great. So we're going to start off with some scriptures. I'm going to read through some scriptures, some foundational scriptures. I'll say a few things, and then we'll go into our study. So first scripture. So for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's one of all of our favorite scriptures, right? Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. See, there's a soul and a spirit. Those aren't the same. And of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a heart. But it talks about here the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, your heart has thoughts and even has intentions, right? Because what's happened in your heart, you debated what you believe is true, you know? So when something happens, what you've debated and established in your heart is what's going to come out, right? Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way, All right. You may think, oh, when if someone comes to me and cusses me out, I'm just going to say, Lord, just bless them and just forgive them and love them anyway. And but when it happens, all of a sudden, something riles up in you and it's not what you thought was going to come out. Why? Because you haven't really changed and established those thoughts and intents in your heart. A lot of people say, I do things that I don't want to do them, but I do them anyway. Why? Because it's been established in their hearts, and so that's how they act. Okay? So we have to look to and understand that our heart has thoughts and intents. Next scripture. Genesis 6 and 5 says, Then the law saw the wickedness of the man was great in the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of the heart was evil only. Okay? So the word here, the intents and thoughts, is yetzer, which is basically imagination, and which means to form. All right. So in his heart, he's debating. He's kind of forming his thoughts and intentions and stuff. But and unfortunately, at this time, he says, there's no good in these people. They're only thinking about, in their hearts, evil. All right. But no, but now he has transformed us. Our hearts have the possibility to do what's good and also, even as Christians, to do what's evil. You know? Some churches that are all white, they want to teach that, well, white is supreme. Some black churches, on the other, they say black is supreme. But really, the truth of God's word that needs to be established, there's only one color that matters. Only one, and that's the color of the blood of Jesus, and it's red. That was shed for all men, every race, every creed, every color, every language. Only. It's the only thing that matters to God. Only thing that matters to God. So we have to have that established, that I can go and love my sister, love all my sister Percy, and have nothing in my heart to hold me back at all. That I can love on her. I have to hold back from kissing her. So don't get jealous, honey. I tell you what, if Jesus was here, he'd be kissing her because he loves her so much, right? We shouldn't look at color. We should only know that if God held each and every one of us in such love that he would be willing to shed his blood for us, then that's a person worth loving and fellowshipping with, okay? Right? But you know what? You can have things in your heart that go, oh, I don't know. I want to give her a hug just real quick and move on. I did my Christian duty instead of from my heart, really, truly loving the way God wants us to love. But that's all established in our hearts, in the intents of our heart. Okay, next scripture. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground of the man, although the imaginations of his heart, with that same word, yetzer, a man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. So my question is, does God have a heart? Yes, God has a heart. It's actually, this is really important to understand because his heart acts, basically operates like our heart because he created it, all right? And the imagination is the thoughts of our heart. So when, you know, when you say, I can't imagine that, it's because you probably have words established in your heart that are against what you know that God's word's saying. Okay? So you can't even imagine it. You can't even force yourself to imagine it because it's just, there's something there holding you back from being able to see, to know, and understand, and imagine. Okay? And I want to establish here that the imagination of your heart is the thoughts of your heart. This is how, what these are. When you are imagining something, when someone says something to you and all of a sudden you imagine something, that's something that's coming out of your heart, okay? So I'll give an example of that later. So God's got a heart. The thoughts of your heart is your imagination. So, and on your paper, it says, the Hebrew word for imagination is yetzer, which means a form, figuratively conception, purpose, frame, thing framed, imagination, mind, and work. So Pastor Princh, which I respect greatly, explained that this word form as a frame that is built to pour into. So it's like when you build a form made of wood and pour concrete into it so that the concrete forms to the frame. Okay? So the imagination is the frame for the power of the Holy Spirit to pour into. Okay? So Pastor Dave and I were preaching this, and they were sharing that when they're praying now, what they're believing is they're actually picturing in their heart and in their imagination that Pastor Dave's, every part of him is perfect, perfect in every way. There's nothing coming against it, or it's perfect as Jesus paid for, perfect. So, and they're just, now they're saying, I thank you for it, that is so, that's it. And you know what? What happens then is the Holy Spirit has a frame, you know, from your heart that you framed for him to pour into and make it happen, you know? So Jesus says, I'm not doing any of the work. It's the Spirit is doing the work, right? Anyway. All right, so an example of this is when God created this world. Remember, he has a heart. So let's look at Genesis 1:1-3. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the faces of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Next scripture, Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's what I'm doing here today. So, let's see. I believe that in God's heart, he imagined all the billions of details of what he was creating and then spoke, let there be light. All right? He didn't have to say all the billions of little details about light and how it operates, how it works, its boundaries, none of those things. All those things was in his heart. And so when he said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit knew the form, knew all the details, and he carried it out. I also see that the Holy Spirit, when God's on the scene, he's ready to move. It talks that he was brooding, like basically he was excited, he was ready to go. And guess what? The Holy Spirit in you, every one of you, is that way too. He is ready to move. What are you going to believe? What are you going to pray? You know, he's waiting for you. So he moves in conjunction with you. So when you frame the things, the thoughts in the tense of your heart, that when you pray and then you say, be healed, the Holy Spirit has something to go through and work and fill in and make happen. Supernaturally. Yeah, like this. This says, Holy Spirit was brooding, waiting excitedly at God's word, and did the work, and then bang, light was made. That's my big bang theory. There was a bang. That's like when the Holy Spirit... And then light came. So exercising or training your imagination. So now we're focused on the heart, and the heart's thoughts and intents is your imagination, all right? So we're going to look at some ways that we need to look at and understand and how it works, okay? So number one, so based on scriptures, you establish your heart in believing. So this is what we want, our hearts only to believe the truth, right? By studying, all right? By meditating. These are all words you guys are familiar with. Talking to the Holy Spirit about the scriptures, I highly recommend it. Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. You teach me. And discussing with others what the Holy Spirit reveals to you. You want to establish a truth in your own life, in your heart. You start sharing with others what God has showed you. It's all of a sudden, it's like you're talking and the Holy Spirit's talking as fast as he can right here in your ear as you're sharing, you know. Because God always multiplies it. Whatever he gives you, if you give it away, he'll multiply it back to you even more. That's just how he is. That's how he operates. Okay? So number two. So that first one, the filling is believing. Number two. Scriptures such as John 14, 12 through 13. We'll look at those. Oh, one of our favorite scriptures, right? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also. Say, I will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you believe this with all your heart? The way you do that is, like I said, you have to establish this truth. And anything that comes out of your heart, or if anything says differently, you're going to say, no, that's not true. This is the truth. I know that I know that I know this is the truth. And nothing can persuade me or move me from that truth. That is where you want to be. That's where you want your heart to be established. Okay? So, you can believe, yeah. Number three, when you read the accounts of Jesus healing someone, you should not see yourself as the one needing healing, right? If you have established in your heart that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, that means when you imagine yourself, you should just see yourself as healed 100% head to toe. That's what Jesus paid for. He paid for it. He deserves what he paid for. He paid a high price so that you can be healed and whole from head to toe. Yeah. Right? So when you see in your imagination, you want to imagine, or only imagine yourself healed and whole in every way, head to toe. Right. That no sickness, no disease, no pain can live in your body because of Jesus and what he did for. He paid for it so that you could be completely free from all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. That's who I am. That's who I see. So you shouldn't see yourself as someone needing healing, right? When you're reading the accounts of when Jesus is healing in the body, right? You should not see yourself as a bystander. That's someone who really doesn't know what's going on. They're kind of curious. You should already have established this truth in your heart. So you shouldn't be a bystander. You definitely don't want to see yourself as one of the religious leaders in those stories, just doubting, right? You don't want to be questioning, what's he doing there? No, he can't do that. That's against the law, you know? He can't do that. That's impossible. Who does he think he is, you know? Who? You definitely don't want to be there. You got a lot of work if you're there to do on your heart. You should not even see yourself as one of the disciples. Not until you start reading in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit was poured out. Okay? Because they weren't born again. They haven't received the Spirit again. Matter of fact, Jesus, don't you go anywhere until the Holy Spirit's poured out. Why? Because he was going to send them out to do the same works he's doing in his name by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not going to happen if you don't have the Holy Spirit. Right? Hallelujah. So, but then if you read Acts, you can put yourself in the place of Peter and John when they said, you know, silver and gold have I none. And you see yourself reaching out in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk and see him before you in your imagination, leaping and walking and praising God. Hallelujah. This is a way to train your imagination to establish his word in your heart. That you're used to seeing in your imagination God moving and working through you, all right? Because he's wanting to do that. He's anxiously wanting you to step out, you know, using your heart to do these things. You need to see yourself as Jesus. You see yourself reaching out your hand and saying, I am willing, be healed in Jesus' name to the leper, right? That's what he said to the leper. Amen. Number four, see in your imagination is the fill-in, the Holy Spirit moving out of you into the person and him doing the work. Okay? You guys got that? You have the Holy Spirit in you, right? Where does he live? He lives in your heart, all right? So he's ready to move and act. As you think, as you form the thoughts of your heart, your imagination of what's about to happen, and then you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, he moves forward in his power. He causes those things to happen. Jesus says, I'm not doing the works. It's the Spirit who's doing the works. And, oh, he got so ticked off when the religious leaders were like, we know you're doing this by the spirit of Beelzebub. He's like, whoa, well, wait a minute. Boy, he got ticked off, you know, about that, because it wasn't. It was by the Holy Spirit, you know. Jesus did everything as a man here. He completely emptied himself as God. He could have come here as God and did all those things in his name, but he did not do it but by the Holy Spirit. So he can be an example to us. Let's see. See the leper being cleansed. All right. When reading about Jesus casting out demons, see yourself. So you're reading in the Bible in the New Testament where he's casting out a demon. So in your imagination, you see yourself doing this, saying the words, come out and leave him in Jesus' name. And then see in your imagination, and this is important, that the Holy Spirit is flowing from you, right, into that person. In him, oust those demons and see them fleeing from that person. You need to see that when that happens, the Holy Spirit comes out of you and jumps into them. You see that little demon like a little dog that you just kicked in the butt. Just running away. You need to harness your thoughts, the thoughts of your imagination. You need to see these things. Because really, in the spirit, that's what is. But you know what? When we pray, are we really believing with all our heart that they're going to be healed and whole in Jesus' name? Do we really believe that the Holy Spirit would actually use us and come out of us in Jesus' name to go out and do these things? Do we really believe? Do we really believe? You also need to see that person delivered in his right mind and healed, sitting in front of you with a glow and a peace that he's just soaking in and enjoying that he hadn't had for a long time. It all came from what Jesus did in his name and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. Hallelujah. Training, exercising your heart. Hallelujah. Number five, the Holy Spirit is your fill-in. Holy Spirit will follow the imagination and the intents of your heart. So you're making that framework of what you want him to do, you know. It can't be done unless Jesus paid for it, but that's so you're believing what Jesus paid for that person. So you imagine what's going to happen, and then you say in the name of Jesus, be healed, be filled, all those things. You don't have to have a long prayer. If you notice, Jesus didn't have very long prayers when he prayed for people to be healed, all right, or delivered. Why? Because the intentions of his heart, all right, all those was set up in the intentions of his heart. And so when he said, "In you know, be healed," the Holy Spirit moved, and that person was healed, made whole. You don't have to have a long prayer. You need to have a strong, believing heart, an established heart. Now when you pray and you don't believe John 14, 12 through 13 with all your heart, with no doubt, it won't happen. I mean, we read earlier. So if you've got doubt about that scripture, then you need to spend some time on that scripture. You need to meditate. You need to talk to others about it. You need to pray, Holy Spirit, help me, help this to be established in my heart. If there's anything that's in me that's contrary to your truth, then help me get rid of that. Help me combat that. Help me to see that is not true. You know, there's a lot of things that the devil has put in there to try to battle us from believing. Some of it may have to do with, you know, I'm not worthy. You know, there's so many things that he wants to put there so that you can't move and operate. You can't imagine that God would use you in this way. You know, so we have to know that there's things there the devil's put there that we have to combat, that we have to come against with everything in us, because we want that stuff ousted out of our hearts so that we can only believe what he said. So that when we pray, oh Lord, that faith works and we see people healed, delivered, set free, hallelujah, walking in that life and life abundantly, full of peace, love, and joy of the Holy Spirit. It comes from you having your heart ready. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so next is using your imagination in prayer. So we're just going to give some examples of how to do this in prayer, okay? These are some exercises that I'm hoping that you guys will think about and try to do, because you, oh my gosh, everything that you've done now will be magnified, amplified if you do these things. So let's read Matthew 15, verse 8. It says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So when you come to God, where's your heart? Where's your imagination? Okay, I'm kind of talking because that's the thoughts of your heart is your imagination. All right. So what are you imagining while you're praying? In prayer and in worship, we must use the imagination of your heart. So imagination is the first fill, and the next is heart. By seeing yourself talking to the Father, seated on the throne with his undivided attention. See him listening to every word you say. See him speak in response to you with his words. So God can speak in many ways, but one way is in your imagination. Okay? So when you pray, do you see God? Do you see him sitting on the throne and that you have his undivided attention? I don't know how he does it, because he's probably got a billion people talking to him. But you know what? In my imagination, every time I come to speak to him, there's nobody else around. I have his undivided attention. I don't know how he does it, but it's like his eyes are focused only on me. I'm the only person in the whole universe right now. That's how I feel when I see him. I look at his eyes and they are ablaze with love for me. He doesn't go, "Oh, here comes Tim again with another request." He's looking excitedly. He's so happy to see me come. It's the greatest joy that he could possibly have that I would come to him. Do you see that? If you see him in your imagination in any other way, then you're believing a lie. Because that's what he does. That's who he is. And not only does he just hear you, he is speaking. Whether we know it or not, he's always speaking. He wants to get through to us. He wants to have a relationship with us. So as you see you're coming and you're talking to him and he's listening to you, then you need to wait. And listen. Listen with your heart. A lot of times, you know, in prayer, I start seeing things. Not out here in the open, though I've had some open visions before, but that's not the same. When you see it, it's in your imagination. But you know what? In some cases, it's so real, it's almost like I can step into it. Right? And so like one time I was just praying and asking God for someone who had come up. We're here in the prayer line, you know, praying for people. And she comes up and this lady is so weary. And I lay my hands on her. And then all of a sudden I see, you know, a bull, right? Massive. I mean, muscular. And he has the plow on him, right? And then right next to him, I see this little skinny young cow. And he's yoked up with them. Right? So I see them go and they're plowing. They get to the end and they come back. Okay? And then the small cow jumps off of being yoked with a big cow and tries to pick up and starts going with all his might. And he gets about 8 feet and then falls on the floor and goes, God, I can't do it. I'm seeing all this in my imagination, you know? It's actually just playing in front of me, you know? And then I hear God speak. He goes, I didn't tell you to do this on your own. What are you doing over there? You're supposed to be yoked up with Jesus. And you follow Jesus. So I saw the little, you know, cow, the bull, to come over there. And he got yoked back up. And there they are going down, plowing again. And then I see even the little cow laying on Jesus. They plow. And they go down, they come back, you know. And I said, okay, God, why are you showing me this? He speaks through our imagination. But this was something dealing with this person. And the things that she was asking me to pray about wasn't the things that God was putting my attention on. God will speak to you through your imagination. Are you looking? Are you listening with your heart? Okay. Next is in personal worship. So this is John 4:23 in the Amplified. I think we've got it. Whoa, look at that. But a time is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. From the heart, the inner self, your real self, and in truth, for the Father seeks such to be his worshipers. We all want to be true worshipers of the Father, of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. But it only comes when you worship him with all your heart. That is what he's looking for. That's what he wants from us. Okay? And then we're going to read the same scripture from the Passion. From now on, worshiping the Father will be not a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. Is your heart right? God is spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth. So, an exercise. So in prayer, let's see. Oops, sorry. Let me go. Let's start with that. Right in the Father. Okay. So based on God's truth, you can approach God boldly as a child would his natural loving father. Okay? When you approach God, you have to understand that in every way he looks at you as his son and his daughter. Now, when we approach him, we're approaching him as our father, our Abba, our daddy, right? But we also know who he is. We can see him highly and lifted up like Isaiah, highly and lifted up, you know? His train, his majesty fills the temple. His power and awe is magnificent in every way. But yet he's still our father. He wants us to approach him in both ways. There's times when we can come to him in our imaginations and see him as God Almighty, seated on that throne, you know, holy and majestic. We fall down before him to worship and to praise him and adore him. But then there's other times we can come in our heart and our imagination that we come as a child. We come running. The boldness of a child. What's he do? He doesn't wait for people. He's not scared of the angels and stuff that are standing around guarding and everything and looking at you like, what are you doing? You're approaching God? Wait a minute. And you're like, no. I know your place, but my place, I'm a son and a daughter. I can come running and leap. And he's going to catch me every time. With his eyes aglow with love. And he's just so happy to see me. He puts me on his lap and he looks around and goes, that's my son. Hey, y'all, look at this. This is my son. Isn't he awesome? And that's how he sees you. That's how he sees you. When you look into his eyes, they're just, I mean, you just get lost in that love that he's showing you through his eyes. You know? When you put put your ear on his chest, you hear it's beating for you. My heart is beating for you. And it says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. I'll love you forever and a day. Hallelujah. How are you approaching? How do you see yourself? What are you doing in your imagination, okay, when you're coming before him to praise, to love, and adore him, all right? Your mind may be there, but where's your heart, you know? You want to engage your heart, you know? God is looking for people to worship him from their heart. To worship him from your heart, you need to engage your imagination, which is the thoughts of your heart, right, on him. You see yourself coming and worshiping and praising him, honor him and glorifying him, being loved by him as a child, as his son and his daughter. That's because that's who Jesus has made you to be. It doesn't have anything to do with what you've done. It's who you are and made him. He made you to be his child. And he wants you to. You know, if you approach your father and you're going, hope he doesn't hit me. Oh my gosh, that would break his heart. Our true loving father that loves his child, and you do that to him, he's going to go, what did I ever do to make you act that way? If you really know the truth of how much he loves you, you would never act that way. But a lot of times that's how we act when we come before him. That's how we see ourselves in our hearts and our imaginations coming to God and God's reaction to us. That needs to change. That needs to change. We need to see him as our loving Heavenly Father. So number 8, based on the truth of 2 Corinthians, so we want to base everything that we believe on Scripture, and there's so many more. I mean, I could add a ton more of Scriptures, but it says, where it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Do you see that it's true? If I come to God in the name of Jesus, and I have my heart established on the truth, I can go and I can ask him. And his answer is always, yes, yes, amen, so be it, do it. Angels of God, get to it, you know? Whatever it is he's asking for, do it. And then we give him glory and we give him honor and just tell how good and awesome he is to everyone around us. Oh, man, when I go to my father, my father God, he always says yes. And you know what? He makes sure whatever has to happen, he makes sure it happens. Can you see that? And in your heart, in the imagination, can you see God talking like that for you, about you? Jesus. So based on these truths, see yourself in the congregation before the Father and imagine his response to our request of yes and amen. He will be, his overwhelming response is yes and amen. See yourself receiving as your current possession and thank him for it. So whatever you ask for, you see that you're being given that right then and there. Because he already said, yes, amen, here it is. And you see yourself and say, God, I thank you for it. I receive it. It's mine. It's done deal. If God said it, that's it, right? If somebody else, you know, if Pastor Dave says, I'm going to do this for you, you know, you're not going to question him. Why? Because we know he's Pastor Dave. He's not gonna waver or wave or anything like that. He's gonna make sure whatever he said he would do. Well, God's so much more even that. And we should see him that he is faithful and that he has given it to us as our present possession. All right, so the next one is in corporate worship. Oh my gosh, I love coming together and worshiping God. So let's see. So we need to establish our hearts on truth, on the truth. So let's look at Matthew 18 and 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You know, a lot of times we're like, oh, Jesus, please show up. Please show up. Oh, we need you. We need, oh, you just don't know how much we need you. Wait a minute. When we gather together, three or more gather in his name, he's already here. Oh, my gosh. So how should you be looking at what you should be believing in your heart? When I come into this church, hallelujah, Jesus is going to be there too. Jesus is going to be walking around blessing and loving and setting people free and healing and all those things, because that's just what he does. Wherever he goes, that's what he does. You don't have to beg him to come. He is here. So when you come in here, that's what you should. You should engage your heart and use your imagination and come in here and says, well, hey, Jesus, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad I'm here. Man, I can't wait to see what you have in store for us. Oh, my, and it's always good. He is so loving and so kind. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. So seeing your imagination, thus standing before the throne of God and his overwhelming response. So here we are. We're worshiping and praising God. We're coming before his throne. You're using your heart, your imagination, and you see us as a congregation, as his children, his sons and daughters, running together, coming before him excited to praise and honor and glorify and thank him for all his goodness, his mercies. Oh, my gosh, all his the grace that he's bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. Oh, how amazing it is. It should be just an overflow of our hearts, just praising and honoring him and glorifying him, you know? But you also need to see his response, because it's not like you're speaking or saying things and he's not hearing, but he is hearing, you know? And you need to see his response. In your imagination, you need to see. That the Father loves us so much that he cannot help himself but pour out abundantly, as you're filling, from himself as we worship from his heart. In your imagination, you should see his response, such as him raining down his presence. Oh, how we love his presence, right? Just a minute. Oh, golly. Oh, I love his presence. His glory, his power. You feel his power moving and working. Do you see it as we worship him? Because that's his response when we worship him. Oh, my gosh, he's pouring out his gifts of healing. No one need touch you. When we're worshiping him, you know, as a congregation, he can't help but react with his gifts of healing, his provision, his gifts of deliverance, his gifts of love, joy, and peace. The whole world is searching for this and all kinds of things, but the only way you're going to find it is in his presence. And all this comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Got some things for you to think about and prepare your heart for when next time we come together to praise and worship. Right? All right. So next is using your imagination in ministry. Okay? So when praying for someone, so we have to establish our heart on truth, right? So let's look at Mark 16, 17 through 20. And these signs will follow those who believe. Are you believers? Yes. Okay. So he's talking about you, right? He's not pointing at that person over there. He's pointing at you. And you and you and you, right? In my name, they will cast out demons. Let's just stop right there. So the first thing it says for deliverance, okay? So in deliverance, what here we're going to do, we're going to exercise our heart. We're going to use our invoke our imaginations. So when you're praying for that person, right, in Jesus' name, you know, be delivered, be set free in Jesus' name. And as soon as you say Jesus' name, with the thoughts and the intentions of your heart, the Holy Spirit, you see the Holy Spirit coming from you because he lives inside you. Now he is going to flow out of you into that person and cause what you have asked for, what you have believed in your heart, and it'll be done. Not only should you see that person, that the Holy Spirit going out, but that he is delivered, that those demons, like that little dog that went with away, you know, you see that demon running away because he can't help it. He has to go. He can't stay. Man, the Holy Spirit has heard your word. You believe in your heart, you know, with all your heart that this is going to happen. So the Holy Spirit is able to move and get into that person, knock that devil out of there, and he goes running and fleeing from him. You need to see that even before you even see it in your heart and your imagination, that person is free. You know, you could see that, oh my gosh, where there was turmoil, now on his face there's peace. You see it in your heart even before you see it with your eyes. This is an exercise. This is things that you need to be looking at and seeing even before they happen. Engage your heart. Engage your imagination. All right. They will speak with new tongues. Next verse. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So the next one is for healing, right? So again, here we go. Not only are we going to, in our mind, thinking about scriptures, but we need to engage our hearts and with our imaginations. All right, what is going to happen here? Even before it happens, right? So you're going to go over there, and you're going to lay hands on the sick and say, in the thoughts and your intentions, they're going to be healed. Let's say they have back problems. All right. So what you're going to do is you're going to imagine that the Holy Spirit, when you say in Jesus' name, that the Holy Spirit is going to move and that he's going to go right down the spine and straighten everything out. Recreate whatever needs to be recreated. If something's missing, he'll just make it anew all the way down their back. And to say in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit moves, and he does those things, the thoughts and the intents of your heart, your imagination, then he does those things. And as you're laying your hand and you see the Holy Spirit moving and working, he starts doing those, that very thing. All right? Now, he's already done it, so now, all right, start moving around. Okay? Any pain? No? Well, praise God. I knew that was going to happen. Hallelujah. So we're speaking in tongues, all right? So scripture says that when you speak in the tongue, you edify yourself. So based on that truth, this is something that I do, that I practice from my heart, in my imagination. I see myself before the throne of God, and I start speaking in tongues, and I just plug into the power source of the throne of God, and he is just filling me and charging me up, you know, like a battery that needs to be charged up. That's what I'm doing. I'm praying in the Spirit and I'm being charged up. And I tell you what, you know, I can not engage my imagination. And as I pray in the Spirit, I'll be blessed. I can, you know, I feel the Spirit. But when I engage my heart, my imagination, I do the same thing. It's so much more amplified. So much more. Same thing with my prayer time. My worship time, I'm up there worshiping, and I'm doing everything I can to forget about you guys. Because I'm trying to engage my heart to see God, that I'm worshiping him. I'm like, I want to draw you guys into, you know, worshiping God. I don't want to entertain you guys. I'm not here to entertain you guys. I'm just here to try to help you guys focus on God with all your heart so that you can praise him, honor him, and experience how awesome he is as he rains down his Spirit. And to the level I am able to do it, that's how much, a lot of times, his presence, his power, his glory comes on me. Right? There's sometimes I'm grabbing the seat in front of me because I almost feel like I'm going to get blown over, you know? But the times I'm not able to do it, I know his presence is here and I can feel his presence, but it's not near the strength that it is when I engage my heart, my imagination. All right, so based on Galatians 5:22, so we put that one up. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. All right. Well, the Holy Spirit's the one who gives those. A lot of people are looking for it in all kinds of stuff, like alcohol and drugs and games, a spouse, a girlfriend, boyfriend. There's a lot of things they look trying to receive these things. But you know what? It only comes from the Holy Spirit. So you have to know that the Holy Spirit who dwells in you has all those things. So as you pray, as you're praying in the Spirit, praying before God, or you're longing to have that love and that joy and that peace just inside you moving and working, then you just in your imagination say, Holy Spirit, right now I just receive your love. And then say, you see the Holy Spirit just pouring his love out on you. Sometimes I see it's almost like a warm blanket comes on me and just cuddles me and just feel the warmth. I'm just soaking that love in, you know, or the joy. All of a sudden I just feel like, oh, there's an explosion inside me of this joy, you know, and I have to smile, you know, and almost giggle, you know, because, oh man, his joy is coming on me, his peace, you know, there's so much turmoil going on. Oh my gosh. I need to, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your supernatural peace right now. And then see, oh Lord, his peace. A lot of times the way I see it, it's like I'm laying down on the beach and these waves are just coming over me. Just washing over me and all this fretting and all this other stuff that I'm having to deal with just gets washed away by his peace. It doesn't have anything to do with your happenings or things that are happening. It has to do with the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. These things are available to you, but you've got to believe it in your heart. And one way to access is to use your imagination. So based on James 1 and 5, being established in your heart, we can pray for wisdom or we can pray for others that they receive wisdom. A lot of people are like, I don't know what to do. I need God's word on this. I need God's wisdom on this. So what to do here, you know? Well, then you can, in Jesus' name, when you come before God in your own personal prayer life, and God, I need wisdom on this subject. You need to know that he is going to speak to you. He's going to get that wisdom that he has for you one way or the other, all right? Now, you're like, oh, I prayed and I didn't get anything. Well, wait a minute. Well, God's still working, you know? And then you come to church, and there's Pastor Dave up there preaching, and my gosh, he's talking about everything I asked God about. God, you heard me. You really do love me. Let me tell you, when you ask, he will always give you the wisdom. He wants you to know his word and his plan. Okay? One way or the other, he is going to get it to you. Do you believe that with all your heart? Do you believe with all your heart? So, I've already gone over, guys. Oh, okay. So, number 10 is the imagination of your heart is important, and you need to pay attention to it. Don't let it just imagine things. As soon as you start imagining anything, you need to say, oh, am I imagining according to God's word? Okay? Just as you guard your thoughts, you need to guard your imaginations. Matthew 5:28. Jesus said, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What you think on in your heart and your imagination, God counts as the deed. Okay? And you're like, oh my gosh, God's not just thinking in my mind. I've been having a battle here. Oh my gosh, now I've got to think about my heart. Thank God for his amazing grace. You know, a lot of the, during this sermon, he was trying to show that it was impossible to do anything that you yourself could please God, that you had to have a Savior, okay? That was his whole intention on this whole sermon on 5:28, or in 5, is that he was trying to get everyone to see that it's impossible to walk in righteousness on your own, that a righteousness was going to come, and it would only come through a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. So I love you guys. I hope this was helpful. It has been very helpful to me, and I enjoy it thoroughly. And I want you guys to start using, you know, from your heart, your imaginations, and enter into a greater level in every way, in your prayer, in your praying, in your worship, in your corporate worship, and everything else, okay? Do this. Exercise this. Practice this. And I promise you will see that whatever you've been experiencing, it will be multiplied even more so. Because all of a sudden, what God has been concerned about is your heart. He's looking to your heart. When you worship him, he's looking at your heart. When you get your heart right, oh my gosh, God just pours out. So I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you made us fearfully and wonderfully. We wonder at the creation that you made us, Lord. And we thank you for our hearts. I pray all of that in every way that you would help us to see and to understand and be able to practice what was taught today, Holy Spirit. Help every one of us, Lord, as we go, Holy Spirit, to keep this in front of our minds so that we can practice these things during, with our prayer, you know, with us agreeing, with our praise and worship, and just in general, anything, Lord, that you're concerned with. I pray your help. Holy Spirit, help. I thank you, Lord, that and when we come to you, always show us so much mercy when we fail, and then you give us grace to help us to get up and keep continue in the right direction. You're so good. You're so kind. You're so patient. we thank you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if everyone can come up here, we're going to make a circle. We're going to have a...